Thanks be to God. Well, good morning. It is good to be with you, and I always look forward to these opportunities to spend time with you together in God's Word. And so please keep your Bibles open to Psalm 48. That's where we're going to be spending our time together today as we begin this new sermon series called Made to Praise. And the idea is that no matter what season of life we find ourselves in, no matter what situation we are faced with, we all have reason to praise. And that praise is meant to be directed in one direction. That praise is meant to be directed to God. He and He alone is worthy of our praise. Pastor John mentioned that our last sermon series, again, and many of you were a part of that, Messiah Unleashed. Throughout that series, we were looking at our discipleship pathway. These things that God has called us to as His people, to worship. It's what we're here today gathered together for, to grow in study of God's Word, to grow in relationship with Him and others, to serve both in and a part of our Messiah family and then out in our community and reaching the ends of the earth to give witness to who God is, to the good news of Jesus, and then to celebrate. To celebrate God as a way to thank God, to praise God for who He is, for all that He has done, and all that He promises to yet do. This word praise, as we're looking at it in the Psalms, in Hebrew is halal. It's where we get the word hallelujah, a word that means praise the Lord. It's what we've been doing here today, a part of our worship. Now, that word praised, halal, it can at times take place within a human context, but most of the time, when that word is used throughout the scriptures, and in particular the Old Testament, it refers to praise directed to God. And the majority, in fact, 50% of the occurrences of that word appear in the book of Psalms, just like in our reading today from Psalm 48. Look with me again at verse 1 that Bill just read. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be what? You sound like you mean it. Good job. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. I love it. But notice, it's not just about who's being praised. The psalmist wants to direct our attention to where he is being praised. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. I'm not sure what the chapter heading or title is in your Bible. In my Bible, it's this: Zion, the city of our God. Praise is directed to God, but it's directed to God here amongst the city. Zion, the city of our God, it refers to Jerusalem, the holy city. In this picture, you see the current modern city of Jerusalem in the background, and there the ancient city of Jerusalem with the walls still around it in the foreground. And where that golden dome stands, that is where the temple once stood, where the many sacrifices were offered, where Jesus Himself went. It is where God had made His presence among the people. In the Old Testament, He attaches His presence to the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Covenant that is then placed within first the tabernacle and then the temple. And so the temple and the city were holy places where God's people knew that God would be, where He would dwell. And so if you have your Bibles, look with me again at verses 1 to 3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, Jerusalem. His holy mountain, that's Zion, beautiful in elevation, is the joy of all the earth. Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great king, within her citadels, God has made Himself known as a fortress. It's important for us to note here, and I don't want us to miss this. The one who dwells in this city. It is the great King. It is God Himself who dwells in this place, in this city, among His people. Yes, God is our Father, and we are His children. We witness today God, our loving Father, through water and the Word, welcoming us, a part of His family, making us His child. But God is at the same time King. And so He rules. He rules over us, meaning He's not only the one who provides for us and cares for us, but He's also the one who fights for us, who protects us. Let's keep reading. Verses 4 and 5 of Psalm 48. For behold, the kings assembled, and by the kings it means these are earthly kings. The earthly kings assembled, they came on together. As soon as they saw it, the holy city, Jerusalem, Mount Zion, where God dwells among the people, it says they, the earthly kings, were astounded. They were in panic, and they took to flight. The world's kings, when they came to Jerusalem, they saw one thing. But for the people of the city, for the people of God, for the people that live there and for those who journeyed there to worship the God of the Scriptures, they saw something else, something completely different from what the earthly kings saw. Let's keep reading. It says, as we, this is verse 8, as we, those who worship the Lord, those who believe in God, who trust in God, as we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, which God will establish forever. We have thought on your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple. And notice what's happening here. They're not just talking about God. Now they're talking directly to God. As your name, O God, so your, here's the second reference to the word halal, praise. So your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. Do you see the difference between these two scenes, these two scenarios? Where the earthly kings came to the city of Jerusalem, the place of God where He dwells, what they saw was the strength of a fortified city. And they felt defeated even before the battle began. And they left frightened. But what those who trusted in God saw was not a fortress, a city with the walls trying to keep them out. No, what they saw was a city established by God, a holy city where God was inviting them in, into the walls, into His protection, into His loving care. And it resulted in joy, not fear. You see, in one scenario, those who approached the city, they leave afraid, fearful. But those who are in the city and those coming to the city to worship God, they are living by faith over fear. And my question for us to consider today is this. What are you living by? Fear or faith over fear? When you think about our world today, when you think about our nation, when you think about the things that we're facing, when you think about the season of life that you find yourself in, when you think about the situations that you're dealing with or those around you, are you more fearful or more faithful? Look with me at verse 8. As we have heard, so we have what? Seen. Those two words, that sequence, heard and seen, it appears numerous times in the scriptures, and it's very important. Think about it with me. How do we receive faith? Faith comes from hearing. And not just hearing anything, but hearing the word of God. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. And when God gifts us with that gift of faith, that faith that comes through water and the word, what does it result in? Faith allows us to what? See. Not with human eyes, but with the eyes of faith that believe and trust in God. And so we hear God's word. It results in a gift of faith that allows us to see him for who he truly is, to fear, love, and trust in him above all things. Look with me at Psalm 48, verses 12 to 14. Walk. Those who are in this city, believing in God, trusting in God, who live by faith over fear, they are invited, probably as part of their act of worship, to take a walk around Zion, a walk around the city of Jerusalem. Walk about Zion, go around her, number her towers, consider well her ramparts, go through her citadels, that you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God, forever and ever, and he will guide us forever. We are among this next generation, these future generations, where faith is passed from one generation to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. Did I get six generations there? Parents who are gathered here today, your children are part of this next generation. Grandparents, you who are here today, your children and grandchildren are part of this next generation that we are called to bear witness to about our God. You see, we too are invited to take a walk. Now, where the Old Testament people were invited to take a walk around the city of Jerusalem and Mount Zion, where God had made his presence known, we as a New Testament people are invited to take a walk through God's word, where God makes himself known to us through Jesus, the word who becomes flesh. And when it says that word became flesh, it says in John 1:14, he came to dwell. And that word actually means to tabernacle, to temple among us. And we who are a New Testament people, Scripture says that we are now the temple of God, where God through his Spirit dwells, where he makes himself at home in us. And so we are invited to take a walk through God's word as we learn more about who he is. And if we were just to start in Psalm 48 alone, here are the things that we are told about God. Great is the Lord, Yahweh. He is the great king. He is the King of kings. He is God, our fortress, one who protects us. He is the Lord of hosts, of heaven and of earth. He is steadfast in love. He is present in his temple. Among his people, he is righteous, and he is forever eternal. Dear friends in Christ, this is our God. And this is the one that we are made to praise. He and he alone who is worthy of praise. As we connect this to our lives, as we begin this new series together, Made to Praise, as we journey through the Psalms, consider with me what Chad Bird writes in the introduction to his newly released book, a devotional book, Untamed Prayers. He says, "What the Psalms did for me in the pit of grief, they also did for me on the mountain of joy. They expanded my simple thank you, God, into whole hallelujah hymns that praise the Lord by confessing how He hangs the stars in the heavens. He weaves me in my mother's womb. He feeds the ravens, and He searches for me when I foolishly stray from the fold. The Psalms instructed me that to thank God is to confess before the world that He, and He alone, is our Creator, our Redeemer, our Shepherd, and our King. And it is Jesus, as the King of Kings, who Himself goes to that holy city of Jerusalem to offer Himself there as the perfect sacrifice for you and me and for our sin and for the sin of the world. It is Jesus, the Word who becomes flesh to dwell among us, to tabernacle, to temple, to make His home with us and in us. Jesus is the key that unlocks every part of Scripture, including the Psalms. For example, look again at these descriptions of God, because these are true of Jesus. And not just Jesus in the lives of the Old Testament people, but true of Jesus in our life today. He is great. Great is the Lord, the Messiah, the Christ, our God, our Lord, our Savior. He is the great King, the King above kings. He is our fortress, our protector. He is the Lord of hosts, the God who fights for us. He is steadfast in love. An agape love, a sacrificial love, a lay your life down for another sort of love. And He is present, dwelling, living in His temple. Not a temple built by the hands of men, but us, the temple where His Spirit dwells. He is righteous. In fact, He is our righteousness. He is the one who went to the cross to suffer, to die, and to rise again, that we might be made righteous before God. And as a result, He is our forever eternal, meaning we have life with Him here and now, but also for all eternity. You see, dear friends, in Christ, He is the one to be praised. And we are made in His image, in the image of God, to give praise, to give glory, to give honor, regardless of our seasons of life, regardless of the situations with which we are faced. And so today I want to leave you with two, but it's really one journal question to take with you into the week. When you think about your life, when you think about your season, your situation, when you think about the lives of those around you, parents, the children entrusted into your care, these next generations, when you think about our world, our nation, our community, what are you fearing? What are others fearing? And then, where can you, if you haven't already begun, where can you begin today taking a walk around God's Word, in God's Word, through God's Word to grow in your fear, love, and trust of God? Maybe you're in a Bible study. Maybe you're in a personal study or a study with others. Maybe you're in a life group. If you're not, we encourage you, we invite you to get connected where you can be in God's Word, where you have an opportunity to grow. And maybe for you, the place to start taking that walk is through the Psalms, as we're going to be walking through the Psalms together in this series, Made to Praise. Regardless of your season of life, regardless of your situation, know today that you are loved, you are redeemed, and as a result, we have every reason to praise. To Jesus, to our Father, to Spirit, to the Son, to God alone be praise, glory, and honor, and all of God's people said, Amen.